it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In my opinion, two plays that I don't want to say are the reason they have lost, but certainly two of the reasons they have lost these football games. And as we said, when you have the issues you currently have offensively, when your defense is still trying to figure things out, even though they improved, you have to have guys like Mahomes, Jones, Kelce, McDuffie, Juwan Taylor, for that matter. You know, those guys have to play at an extremely high level. I don't want to say perfect, but they certainly can't make crucial mistakes that lead to a big shift in the game, points directly, whatever it may be. And Travis Kelce in 2 weeks has made two massive mistakes. Last week, you know, the route is wrong, is run improperly. Those are, remember, his words, not mine. He's the one, I'll just based off of, you can say he's defending worthy. Maybe he is. I don't know. He said he ran the wrong route, or at least he messed up. It caused Worthy to get hurt. Massive mistake, if that's the case. Then we all just saw it yesterday. He drops a catch that has to be caught, that I'm sure he's caught 90-95% of the time in his NFL career.
Yeah.
He knows it. Everybody knows it. Gets batted up. Intercepted, returned to midfield, essentially leads to points and just a huge momentum shift. Not to mention you were about to score. Who knows? Maybe the Chiefs win this football game. I think you and I both think they win if he catches that football.
The way they were playing defensively,
In fact, I think it was Jesse Newell over at The Athletic that put out just one of the metrics. There's different sites that put the win probability, but it was RBSDM.com said that Travis Kelce's dropped pass turn interception was worth negative 7.1 points. Essentially, the win probability went from 53% for the Chiefs, dropped all the way down to 24%. That is a huge shift on one play involving one of your leaders, involving a star player on your team. That's what's been so shocking is that 2 weeks of the season, okay, they're 0-2, yes, the offense is struggling. Yeah, they lost Worthy, they lost Rice, but your number one playmaker because of those guys being out is Travis Kelce, and he has hurt you
2 weeks in a row. He is an emotional player and plays with emotion. I'm not going to try to take that away from him in any way, but he has lost it on the sideline twice or on the field twice in 2 weeks. He was rightfully criticizing Juwan Taylor, but yelling at Juwan Taylor about the mistake he had made in game one when he had gotten called for yet another penalty. After they scored a touchdown, he was seen on sideline going to break, saying that he was tired of it, right? And used some curse words and some, you know, colorful language, as it were. This goes back to what they had said at the beginning of the season, and they said for two seasons in a row, is that they want the offense to feel fun. And it has felt the opposite of that for 2 to 3 consecutive years. And I'm assuming at some point it's just getting to Travis. But the problem is, it's very simple. He's always made drops. He's never been like a perfect player who doesn't make drops. He's always had, not like a problem, but like that's been a part of his game. He'll drop an occasional pass here or there. It was just the worst possible drop at the worst possible time. What's weird about this is, even before that moment, and even after Gold, I would argue that it is fairly obvious that Travis Kelce looks better this year than he did last year. Gold, I think he looks like a better player this season and will be a more impactful player for the Chiefs this season than he was at any point last year. And I think we'd all universally agree that had he not dropped that pass in the end zone, that swung the game. It was the single biggest play in the game. And so how do you get past that? How do you hold him accountable? It's not like he's not going to hold himself accountable. I'm still not even sure that Worthy one was his fault. And he's not doing just what Patrick Mahomes did after that play, which is Patrick Mahomes trying to take blame for that interception. He said he could have put it on Travis Kelce better. He could have thrown that pass better. It hit him in his two hands, and Patrick is still saying I could have thrown it better. So like for Travis, he'll take the blame. He's happy to take the blame here, but on the football field, he's got to find a way to like minimize those mistakes for the next 4 weeks. He is their most important offensive player other than Patrick Mahomes for the next month. So like, can you act like it until Worthy gets back? Maybe even when Worthy's back and he's trying to get back in the swing, you are the most important offensive player outside of Mahomes, so you got to play like it.
Yeah, and that's the key part, you know, going forward here. And it's not even yet, specifically the next couple weeks, whether without Worthy and or Rice. But, I mean, the entire season, though, I mean, these kind of mistakes, though, you cannot afford to have them in this division now that looks like it's going to be tighter than ever because of the hole that you've kind of dug yourself in. We'll talk more about the AFC West after tonight because there's a big game in the West this evening, late one, 9 o'clock kickoff, Chargers and Raiders. But, you know, look, it goes back to the Bobby Wood Jr. stuff we said 2 weeks ago when Bobby had that really rough game. When you're
bounce back, yeah,
at the level both of them are at, like, they're well aware of the mistake they made. Unacceptable. I'm sure they take it very hard. Now, Travis Kelce, yeah, we didn't have a chance to talk to him, as you said, after the game yesterday. I'm sure he'll talk about it on his New Heights podcast on Wednesday or whenever it comes out. And I'm sure he'll own it and talk about it as well. But it would also not surprise you what you were about to say is on Sunday Night Football against the Giants, if he comes up with a play that helps him win a game. That's the kind of stuff that usually happens in these scenarios. But it's just odd to see in two straight weeks, two plays that have really, you know, hurt your offense, to say the least, and this one in particular, because it directly took points off the board.
Well, I mean,
directly took points off the board.
Like, I know, again, I go back to like the emotional player part. I really do think he has to be a stabilizing force now that they're 0-2. And instead, it seems like he's been a destabilizing, right? And that's the opposite of what I would say is a huge chunk of Travis Kelce's career. But at the moment, it's like he's getting like agitated and more frustrated and it's visibly showing. And I'm not saying that never happens. Like we were pointing out when Gronk was saying like, oh, you get in their heads. And then they like the Tom Brady's never thrown an iPad or whatever on the sideline. But like at the moment when you guys, when everybody needs to be kind of like churning together to just right the ship, at least for this week, right? Because we can talk tomorrow maybe about what they need to go in the next four games. And I would argue 3-1. But like, I do think he's a better player this year, but he made the worst mistake of the game out of anybody. He dropped a pass. And if you just drop the pass, Golden, they don't get the touchdown. That's one thing. But he didn't just drop the pass and they got nothing. He dropped the pass.
Last week, it wasn't a drop, but he, you know, maybe he cut his route off too quickly. And it was also inside the 5-yard line. That was an incomplete pass in that scenario. And I think they settled for a field goal last week, if I'm not mistaken, in that exact scenario. So it's been some mistakes that you don't expect from him. I agree with you that, yes, he looks quicker, but you say you think he's, I don't know if I would agree that he's, I think you said he's better than last year. I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that at all.
It also looks like, to me, I think it's not only bad because of the pick thing, but it's bad because you're the one who's talking on the sideline and getting mad, but then you're also, but then you can't make the catch. It emphasizes things a little bit more when you're
throwing
your helmet
Jawan.
And you're sick and tired of it. And then it just looks bad when you're getting mad at Juwan Taylor, throwing your helmet on the sideline. Then when you drop the pass and it leads to a pick, you don't want to talk to the media afterwards. I think that's just, it just looks really bad.
So the one thing about the not talking to the media, and I don't disagree that, like, it's weird. I usually take it more as like a compliment to you when you're willing to do it than a negative when you're not. The thing is, Drew, is like Alex and I've been covering this team. I've gone to locker rooms going back to the Alex Smith days, back to the 2013, 14, whatever. Covered this team a long time. That is a pretty standard operating procedure for the Chiefs the entire
time. Guys clear out pretty quick.
In the Ander, like when they lose, they're gone.
Yeah, the locker room clears out
not
pretty quick.
Not just Travis, everyone.
And I'll say this in fairness. Last year when they won 15 games, it's not like, you know,
they get out fast. Yeah.
I mean,
Travis wasn't available after every game last
There's a certain few players that will speak just about any time, and I give them credit for that. But I kind of what you said, Cody, it's like, you know, you shouldn't expect these guys to speak every single time after the game. There's certain games where it makes more sense.
I think Kelce,
but then you do have some guys that I think you respect quite a bit that do talk no matter what. Like Trent McDuffie, Justin Reed was this guy too.
Chris Jones is good
for Chris Jones. Yeah,
you know, he was at the podium, so that one might have been also a Chiefs PR thing more than anything. Trent McDuffie didn't have to talk to the media after the game. He almost every single time does. Justin Reed, as I said, was that way as well. And I don't expect these guys to want to talk to us every single time. I mean, like, come on, especially after
a
loss.
It's a really tough loss.
But I guess I'm not surprised that Travis wasn't.
I get it. I just think it's a bad look for you to have the attitude that he has during the game and then not to, you know, because look, if he's going to have that energy, bring the energy to like the presser as well. I feel like if you want to get your emotions off, then that's great.
He's
I
doing
think it's
it,
fine.
But he's just doing it in his own media source. So why can't I? Like, he went on that podcast and he said, I screwed up. I take ownership.
I'm sure it'll happen again on Wednesday.
And he'll do the same thing on Wednesday. It's like, I can't, like, as a person who's in the media, it's like I can fault him for just taking it's that stance and taking those accountabilities, but in a different form. He doesn't owe it to do it to me. Would I like that he did it in front of the media for the people so we can see? Sure. From a person who also works on that side of it, absolutely. But, like, he's never been afraid to take accountability for his screw-ups, which is certainly going to be something I imagine he does on Wednesday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.